Welcome to another BNR podcast. That's the National Bank of Rwanda podcast. This podcast, we try to break down all matters that deal with the monetary policy of Rwanda. Now, if you want to be part of these conversations, you can follow the Twitter handle at Central Bank RW. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on TikTok. Yes, we are now on TikTok as the National Bank of Rwanda as well, and be part of all these conversations. Now, today's conversation is a rather fascinating one, especially in a time period when we think that savings is something that is not ideal, or it's a luxury to many people. And who better to have than Dr. Moise Bigirimana? He is the Manager of Financial Inclusion and Education at the National Bank of Rwanda. It's a pleasure speaking to you, Dr. Moise.
Thank you, Anand.
One tends to think a doctor or someone with a PhD in academia in their 60s or 70s. But you're not even close to 40s. How did you climb the mountain of education, and, you know, why economics?
One, it all depends on what you want in life. Whatever you want to achieve in life, it is possible to achieve it as long as you work hard to achieve what you want. So as we'll be talking about savings, maybe that's something we can relate to, but it all requires having discipline and knowing what is your goal.
Knowing your goal. And that's something that many believe when it comes to setting out your savings targets. That's very critical. Last year, I was looking at a report by the Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning and said the number of Rwandans who save has grown up significantly, but it's still only 20% of the population that saves. Now, that is on the low side when you compare to other countries. Why is it important for us to increase our savings, and how can we increase our savings?
Thank you. I think first we'll go back to the numbers, because as per FinScope survey 2020, we are actually about conducting a new FinScope survey, and it will be published next year. So as per that of 2020, 86% of adults, that means 16%, 16 years and above, they save.
That's approximately 5.1 people. Million.
Yes. Yeah. The question is, where do they save? That's, of course, as you said, 5.1 million. But when you talk about saving, just saving, people save in different ways. So those who save in formal institutions, or what you can call formal savings, they are at only 54%. So you understand that a big percentage of adults in Rwanda, we may say they don't save formally, because if you say you're just saving in informal ways, you understand that there are benefits that you don't actually get.
So coming back to that number of 20%, are the 20% is based off GDP?
Oh, yes, yes. That might be the gross domestic saving as percentage of GDP. So when we talk about financial inclusion, of course, we would like to have that percentage increasing, but it's not only the percentage of saving that you can look at. You need to look at who saved this money. If many people could save, then you understand that even that gross domestic percentage of saving as compared to GDP, it will grow. But the issue is the number of adults who save, they are still 50%, just 50%. So you understand that if you could have more people saving more money, that means the percentage of saving to GDP could increase.
So what can we do, and why is it critical is for the government set itself a target, for you as the central bank to be part of this target, that let's move from 15 to 20% of GDP?
One, you should start with individuals. You just mentioned that people are theoretical. Let me not say that PhD holders are theoretical, but you may say that people are theoretical, but let's be practical this way. If an individual saves, if you and I save. We save, we are able to provide for our families, we can do whatever we want to do through our savings, we have set goals, we're able to achieve them. That may lead to our well-being. So if this happens to everyone in the country, you understand that the welfare of the nation will be okay. And then you understand that by having everyone, like more than 7 million adults in Rwanda, if everyone saves, no one will be struggling. So if you and I don't struggle, and anyone else in this country is not struggling, the country will not struggle. So that's why the government sets a target. It's not just setting a target for the sake of having that target, but it is for us individuals who benefit from having these savings that could be useful to us whenever we need them.
At the beginning, you talked about that people have different forms of saving. And you asked me a personal question, if rather I save, why is it important to save of whatever income I'm bringing in?
Let me start saying that it doesn't matter how much necessary you save, because you save in proportion to what you earn. Most important thing is save and be consistent in saving. I'll give you an example of a friend of mine who was sharing testimonies with me, and he said he just set the goals of saving. I'll not mention how much he was earning, but he was earning not that much, but again, it was satisfactory to him. So he said, let me save 30% of my salary. So the first month, he saved 30%. It was on the account. Second month, he saved 30%. Third month, he saved. And on the fourth month, unfortunately, he had an issue and he wanted to use that money. So he could not resist taking that money, and he took the whole amount that was on the account, saying, next month I'll be able to pay back. And then next month, he couldn't even save 30%. So the following month, he struggled and wanted to save, but he couldn't save. And from that time on, he was telling me he has just never saved. So what lesson can we learn from him? One, maybe it was huge amount for him to save. Maybe he couldn't afford, but he tried. So the issue to me might not be necessarily the percentage. Maybe for you, you can afford 40%, maybe 50%, maybe 10%. So the matter is, whatever percentage after, of course, maybe you can look at how do I come up with what I can save. But whatever, like you have got your income, you know that this is how much I earn, this is how much I spend. And when I say this is how much I spend, it's not about the luxury spending, as you said. It's not about spending for goods that you can live without. You know, you cannot live without eating. So food is key, rent is key, electricity, all those expenses that you can list, they are very important. But there are some expenses that you can cut. Then from your earnings, you need to know, this is how much I'm getting, this is how much I'm spending, and if I have to cut my expenses, I know where I can cut these expenses. Then from that, you don't just say, okay, now I have computed and I have seen that I can't save anything. So you can say, oh, I'm earning 100,000 Rwandan francs and I spend 120, so I don't even have to save. I have to take a loan every month. No. The salary you are getting, the earnings you are having, have a portion of saving. So don't consider saving as the last option. It should be in your plan.
You're listening to the National Bank of Rwanda podcast, and today we're talking about savings. We're with Dr. Moise Bigirimana, who is in charge of financial inclusion and education at the Central Bank of Rwanda. Dr. Moise, you're talking about building a culture and building the discipline of savings. How did you build the discipline of savings?
Now, I'll try to be theoretical and practical here, because I don't think that my experience is the best for everyone, but there is what our theory says and what I do. And this is what I think, ideally, what people should be doing. By the way, in Rwanda, as you are talking about people in Rwanda, it is our culture to save. And it has been in our culture. No one eats seeds. Like, you have got your crop, you have to keep seeds. Whether you don't have food or not, you can't eat
the seeds.
So you eat seeds only when you have to die. Like, when you don't eat that seed, you'll die. So if that was in our culture for our grandfathers, this should still be in our culture. You have to save. You don't save because you have spent and there is the remaining amount. Some people say, okay, I have earned money and I have spent the way I want, so I remain with this balance to save. That should not be the way. You should plan on saving. So you're talking about now the ideal situation of how people should do it. One, I think you need to set goals. If you don't have goals, you don't know what you want, then that will be an
issue. What kind of goals?
So set the financial goal. You know, saving is postponing your enjoyment. Like you could enjoy it today, but you say, let me not enjoy it today and enjoy more tomorrow.
There's a popular Nigerian song and say problem won't finish. Mm. Problems will always be there. Challenges will always be there. So let me chop this money now because tomorrow I might be walking and I run into a bus.
I'm not saying don't enjoy at all, but set goals of what you want to achieve. Like you have to live anyway, but then live within the means that facilitate you saving because you never know what will happen tomorrow. Today you are working. You are in employment. But what happens if you lose your job? Today, your business has earned a lot. What happens tomorrow if COVID comes and no one is working? Like, you should think about situation that can arise in the future for which maybe you'll need some money to use when you are not working, when you are not earning what you are supposed to be earning. So it's very important to set your financial goals. Mainly, I've been talking about emergency here, but let's say you have a specific goal. Maybe you want to buy a nice car of your dream. So instead of thinking of just running to the bank and taking a loan, why don't you plan and say, maybe in 3 years, I'll be saving this much because I know the price of this car. And then after 3 years, I'll buy this car. So you have set your goals. Maybe you want to buy a plot. You set goals for that plot. Maybe you know that you'll be paying for school fees for your kids. You have to save for that. So set a financial goal and then start saving so that you can be able to meet that specific goal you have set. But that's not enough. You have to create a saving plan. That's very important.
And what kind of tools can one use to create that plan?
These days, there are so many tools, especially these people who use laptops and smartphones. You can have a lot of apps that can help you tracking, like setting your goals, setting saving plans. But let's say you have an account in any financial institution. You can just request, give them an order, a standing order saying, on my current account, just transfer this much on my saving account on a monthly basis. So in that case, you are not having that money on your current account and you'll not be tempted. Like you go to the pub and, people say, give us another round because that money is there. You just pay. But if you have created that saving account aside, then maybe forgot about it. Just forget about it. That's not your money. It is the money for the goal that you have set. So that's very important. You have created that plan, stick on that plan. It's very important. It's good to have a plan, but if you have a plan and you don't stick on it still, it won't work. And the last thing would be, you just start now. If you say, I'll start tomorrow, I have given you an example of my friend who saved for 3 months. Then after 3 months, he took all the money. And up to now, he said, he's no longer saving. It's unfortunate. But start now and be consistent on that plan so that you can achieve the set goal.
I've seen parents, when they're talking to their children or young students or pupils, they try to teach them the culture of some form of financial literacy, and savings is key to that. When we were growing up, we had piggy banks. You know, at the beginning of the year, you put money in the piggy bank, and the end of the year, you break it, right? When you break that piggy bank, it's the equivalent of, if I've been taking off my 30% and then in the fifth month, I decide to use all the money. So that goal-oriented culture has been around for some time. But you are pushing for something much more as well to that, to create some form of sustainability to that culture. Mm. What are the fundamentals that we need to change mindset-wise to ensure that we don't only save and maybe break the piggy bank at the end of the year, but rather get a second piggy bank to add to the one that we already have?
First, I would say, I wish everyone could have that piggy bank, because not everyone has this. At least, if someone has been consistent for the whole year, 12 months, if he knows that now I have another target of 5 years, it is possible. But if someone has never saved, then you can't expect that this person will save. So I would say that's a good starting point. At least someone is trying to save. And this should be a call for every parent to have the way of teaching your kids to save. Maybe you can't save for yourself, but have you thought of saving for your kids? Maybe if you can, if you start saving for your kid at 1 year, imagine how much you can have, whatever portion you save, how much you can have at the end of 10 years. So that's a huge amount of money. Now, saving should be taught to kids in different ways, like piggy banks that you have talked about. But also, parents should discuss with kids. Tell them that, you know, if I give you this much, save a portion.
But talking about money, in our setting, is still looked at as a taboo, right? We don't like to talk about money. We don't like to share how much we earn. Even you sit down with your colleague and you're doing the same job and you earn very different salaries, but you've never had that conversation. You eat with this person every day. We don't like to talk about money. So how do we change that?
I think we talk about money when we have challenges.
Exactly.
I think this should be something to break. Like, people should talk about money. People should understand how important money is. Everyone needs money. Maybe it's because of a number of factors. Maybe there might be cultural issues, but also religious issues. Some people say you should not be longing for money, but rather long for something else. So the thing is, we all need money because whatever we do, it requires us paying money. So you cannot avoid discussing about money, how to earn more money, how to keep what you have earned. And you should be having the willingness to have more, by the way, because life changes. Things keep changing. If you could buy a plot for 2 million in the last number of years, maybe 5 years, now getting a plot of 15 to 18, you know how much it costs. So life gets harder. You need more money. So you need to think about how you can earn more money. You need to tell your kids that it is important to discuss about money, know how money works, know how they can invest, know how they can save whatever portion that they have put. It should be taught to our kids right from the early age. Otherwise, they grow thinking that money is taboo. Money is not something useful. So they struggle. So it's important to teach our kids about money. And that's why...
So how do we teach the parents to teach the kids?
You can do it in different ways. Maybe if you cannot teach parents, maybe teach kids to teach parents. That's another way. And that's a way, by the way, that we have started applying, trying to teach kids at secondary school so that they can be our ambassadors to parents. But it should be all the way. Like, one, the curriculum for students at secondary school should include saving. And that's what Ministry of Education is doing. Already there are some contents about saving. So kids will start learning at school on saving. But also parents should feel that responsibility, as you cannot say that everything will be taught at school. There is a book that I like. It's called Why Didn't They Teach Me This at School? So there are things that you don't learn at school. But fortunately, in Rwanda, at least we know that there are some contents about saving, but no one teaches you about money at school. They did teach in the past, at least for kids in secondary school these days, they have that chance, but it was not taught at school. So those skills that cannot be learned at school, it is the responsibility of parents to teach kids. But for them to teach kids, they should have that capacity. They say that kids, you don't teach them. You just give them example. So if they know that you have been saving and you can demonstrate to them, you just show them, I've been saving all along and this is how much I have on my account. I built this house through saving. They will know, and that would be enough. But if you don't save, you always struggle. Your kids will know. And what lessons are you giving to them?
Struggle. Beyond financial inclusion, who is Dr. Moyes?
I'm passionate about learning and sharing what I learned. So before joining the central bank, I've been in a teaching industry and I haven't left. I'm not even planning to leave. So that is the career I have enjoyed, sharing with people and learning from people. Whenever you teach, you learn more. So I've been learning and I'm expecting to learn even more. Learning is a journey, and I can connect this with saving. People need to start saving. And the challenges they are facing should be the lesson for them to not face the same challenge in the future. So learning is a process. I like learning and I like improving because I know that you can always do better than what you have done yesterday.
Thank you very much, Dr. Moise. And thank you for making the time. This conversation, you could tweet us at Central Bank RW. Today's conversation was about savings. If you missed the last conversation, it was on the BNR sandbox regulation. Go out and check and find the podcast across your favorite podcast platforms out there. Today, we're speaking to Dr. Moise Mijirimana. He is the manager of financial inclusion and education at the National Bank of Rwanda. And we told you we're on TikTok now. So follow us there, the National Bank of Rwanda. Have a great day.